Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is a two-part recap. So welcome to part one. Also, really sorry. I'm an idiot. I'm in charge today and forgot to press go live on the video. So there is no video today. What a bummer. It was a super fun episode. Sorry about that, everybody, but enjoy part one. Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bruvs. Hi, everybody. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. How are you doing, my little Benoony Tunes?
Hi, Ronnie. How are you? Good morning.
Good. Happy Real Housewives of Orange County finale day.
Happy, happy finale day. This is one of my happiest days of the year because it's the day of the year where we get to hear one of my favorite pieces of music, the end of the season wrap-up music on OC. God, I love that song. I love when they play that music so much. When it came on, I forgot that it was coming, and when it came on, I was like, yes, I love it so much.
How does it go?
It sort of doesn't have a distinct melody. It's like a strumming guitar. It's like they just play the A-Team theme song. No, it's like a strumming guitar. It's like I can't sing it. It's like the Below Deck theme song. It's like,
yeah, I can hear it in my head, but I can't quite get it out right. But I agree. Every time it comes on, it's a jam.
It sort of has this ambient sound. It's like, that's not the melody, but that's the vibe of it. It's like, and then it goes high. It goes,
I almost want to stop this and go listen to the music.
I literally was about to say, should we pull the audio right now?
I don't think we have time. This is going to be 9 hours as it is. So, everybody, hi. It's Ronnie.
Hi.
Welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is a video recap today. We are on Crappens On Demand on Patreon. That's also where our bonus episodes live. This week's bonus episode is fun because Ben comes out of the closet about something very important. So go listen to the Patreon bonus episode.
I get something really big off my chest, and the way that we get there is it's almost worth it. The episode pretty much starts with minestrone soup, and then it ends in a very personal place.
It ends in a coming out of the closet. Ben gets himself all worked up and finally comes out, and it's worth it. Okay, it's worth it. So go be members. Yeah. And thank you to everybody who is a member. Also, this week is our Dwell Hello Week. That's our House Hunters International or House Hunters, whichever, recap. And that's on Wondery Plus. This week was a very fun actor lady from Australia and a man who just wants a farm, but on a beach, but on the land as well. So
I literally was laughing last night. I was driving home and I was thinking about our Dwell Hello episode. And I was thinking about the lady in this episode and like the character that she auditions as in the middle of the episode, because this happens. And I just was laughing in my car to myself because it's just so ridiculous.
Clown doctor for sick children.
Dr. Nincompoop. There, I said it. Dr. Nincompoop.
Spoiler alert. Her name is Dr. Nincompoop. So that one's super fun. Speaking of poop, big poop heavy episode. Also, this coming Monday, first and third Monday of the month, okay, it's going to be the first, is our Crappy Hour Instagram live show. That's at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So come join us for that. That's super fun. Okay, now let's get on with this Real Housewives of Orange County, shall we, Ben?
Wow. What an episode. So much happened. It really is a lot. But it starts off with Shannon walking into her gym. You know, God bless Shannon. She really looks like she's gone through it. I mean, like, I can't even imagine what she looks like after a DUI, because this is before she's ever had a DUI. And she is just stumbling in. She's like,
I look at my arm is bruised. I need some help.
So her trainer, who is now a chiropractor... Was he always a chiropractor, Dr. Tim? Wasn't he
well,
just
I'm
Tim?
Guessing he was always a chiropractor. I mean, I don't know. I don't Maybe. I think he was always this guy, but do you remember his scene when he was on before? Oh my God, it was horrible. So Shannon was like, I just feel so out of shape and I'm just so insecure about my body. And he's like, okay, well, take off your clothes on camera and then we're going to weigh you on camera. And she's like, oh God, please tell me. Please tell me. It's the ropes. It's the ropes. So he stripped her down to her bra, her sports bra. And then when she took off her clothes, he went, ooh, whoa, wow. It was the worst. I hate him. I was hoping that she clipped Dr. Tim when she got.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's how much I hated this guy. And that's not funny. Like, you should never wish for people to get clipped. Okay, so I'll take that back. Let's see. I wish he had accidentally sat on one of her Dr. Moon enemas or whatever. Okay, that's what I wish. He's horrible. But no, she gave him more airtime. So I'm not really sure how I'm feeling already at the beginning of this season finale.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I just got back from Mexico and I was doing a swim with turtles thing. Yeah. And I don't know what happened. I hurt my arm. Look, it's a bruise. It's a bruise. So, and then
you
she's
should
like,
see
whoa.
The other guy. They literally flattened out and turned green. So,
and so then she's like, well, you don't go to it's not a trip to Mexico if you don't come back with injuries. So they do the thing that they love doing on the show, which is put up like five different images on the screen all at once, like it's an episode of 24. So we see everyone hurting themselves, basically.
I love that. Yeah, I love that they're doing that. So we see that Dr. Tim on his desk has a little Buddha, and it's facing the camera. And I just wrote, LOL, okay. You're very peaceful, Dr. Tim. He's like, listen, I'm glad you came back, Shan. Give me another chance after I body-shamed you on national TV when you were at your lowest. So today we're going to focus on my good friend Buddha here on the desk. And we want to... not be sitting around eating all day like this pig guy did. Am I right, Buddha? Okay. Trust me, I will not let Buddha get into a sports bra. Am I right, guys? It's like, please don't body shame Buddha, too. Like, fuck you, Dr. Tim.
He's like, hey, Papa Squat over there. Let me focus on your neck. I was like, sir, if you're a professional, I don't want you to say Papa Squat. I'm just going to say that right now. So,
hey, so let's then look Emily... under the hood there. How about we don't, Dr. Tim?
I am not popping, nor am I squatting. You will ask me to sit down. It's like when my this is the part of me that's like my dad. Whenever my dad goes to like buy a car, it's not like that happens a lot, but I just remember anytime he like goes someplace and a salesperson comes up to him and they're like, oh, by the way, hi, I'm Tim. What's your name? And my dad goes, Mister. Every single time. That's me right now. You know what? Papa Squat, how about Mister? Doesn't make sense, but you get the vibe.
Yeah.
So
Emily comes in and she's like, hi. And he's like, oh, hey, Emily. All good in the hood? And she's like, okay. Hi, Dr. Tim. Is that what you go by? And he goes, you can call me whatever you'd like to. She goes, well, what are you a doctor of exactly? He's like, oh, I'm a chiropractor. It's on the door, just like a doorbell. You ding dong. Okay. Any aches and pains? Papa Squat.
Papa Squat. He called her M. I was like, you just met her. You don't get to call her M. So she goes, oh, the Mexico trip was physically exhausting, especially when I jumped off that 30-foot platform and had to breathe heavy for about 10 seconds. So,
hey, if you're going to pop my neck, at least hand me a taco.
So he starts doing his thing with his staff. And we get this, like, very fast montage of Shannon being tortured. She's like, ow, stop, what are you doing? Why? Oh, that actually felt quite good. Thank you.
And Emily's like, I think that Shannon is secretly a masochist. Secretly? Have you not watched this show ever since she's been on? She was married to David. What would you, yes, she's a masochist. So
she
they start
keeps
gossiping.
Going back to Tamara as a friend. She is a masochist.
Exactly. Yes. So she's just invented an enema. Okay. The woman like had someone stick a finger up her butt to remove emotional debris, psychological debris. Yeah. She's a masochist.
Yeah. Emily's like, yeah, she's really hurt by it, by everything that's revealed itself. So then one day earlier, we see that Gina is talking to Emily and she's like, I adore Heather, but at the same time, I find that you're talking about me behind my back. I'm like, you didn't find out that she was talking about you behind her. Tamara just said it and you just believed it because why like, I don't know, because you have three brain cells.
So she's Emily's like, gosh, she's such an idiot, and she won't let it go this whole episode. It's like she's got it wrong. She knows she got it. She got it. She knows she got it wrong. She knows she got it wrong. And she doesn't care. Yeah. Papa Squat, Gina.
Papa Squat, Gina. So Emily's like, I think she just feels like she put in the effort and then she gets pushed away. Like, she doesn't matter. And she was just like really upset.
What effort? You put in literally no effort for anybody. I don't know what this woman is talking about. You've never put any effort towards anybody on this show, ma'am. Okay? And yeah. You don't matter. Okay? That's from a longtime audience member of this show. I'm sure you matter in the scheme of things and to your kid and as a human being, okay? But on this show, you don't. So please have a seat. I'm not going to get to yell at Gina very much anymore, so just let me have my fun.
I know. No, I actually just got my issue of Do You Matter magazine, and Gina was not in it.
You're not so bad.
If something happens to her, people would be like, well, Ben Mandelker said she doesn't matter. Look at her. I'm shaming her. But she doesn't matter, honestly. On this show, she doesn't matter. So at Halloween, we go to a Halloween boutique. And
of course,
Gina's
it's a Gina
a
scene. Is there a better place to have a finale Gina scene than in like one of those temporary Halloween stores?
Like Spirit Halloween.
Yes.
That's basically what she is. That's where she is. She is Spirit
like,
Halloween.
This is where I'm going to buy my school clothes, too, just while it's on sale.
Do you guys sell Ragu by any chance? Just trying to do one-stop shopping. So she's trying on a hat. So Tamara and Jen come in, and Tamara's like, I know what my costume's going to be. I'm going to keep with my theme all year. I'm going to be an evil clown. Ha! Like, yeah, actually, that's fair. That's fair.
It is fair.
I will accept that. Yes.
I mean, I have definitely, ever since I watched this last night, I've passed a couple of sidewalk. What are those things under the sidewalk?
The
gutter grate things? Yeah, I'm definitely looking a little bit more closely. That is a terrifying image, Tamara as the evil clown in the end when we finally see it. And she literally looks directly into the camera like...
I think Pennywise is like, you know what? I think I'm just going to open up an artisan goat cheese shop. I think I'm going to retire from stealing children. I think Tamara can handle it from here.
Penny Pets. So she's like, oh my God, look, it's the ringmaster.
And Gina's like, yeah, well, you know, you should be an evil clown if it ain't broken, you know. So she's like, Halloween is my favorite holiday of the year because I get to send my kids around and show them how to ask for free food from the neighbors.
Yeah, honestly. And then we go to the food court at the mall and we eat all our candy. So she says, I think we have to keep Gina on the show just so we can punch so aggressively down on her. It's like, it's actually like borderline rude.
Like, we're actually going to continue it every 31st of every month.
So Gina is like, you know, I was really inspired by the Cirque performance in Mexico. And I mean, like, which... By the way, you came up with the idea for the Halloween party before you went to Mexico, so stop lying about that. You're also, this party looks nothing like Cirque du Soleil. In fact, the only one who does look like Cirque du Soleil is Heather Dubrow, and then you guys all rag on her for her costume.
Yeah, the only thing you guys have in common is how you're bending yourselves all out of shape to make some case against Heather Dubrow. And I don't even like Heather Dubrow, okay? And you're such a producer plant that you're giving a shout out to the sponsor at your only party that you're probably going to have in the parking lot of this Halloween store.
Where was this party? Anyway, it really probably was in a tent. Like they probably tented the Spirit Halloween parking lot.
It was the park that Jenna's giving yoga classes in. I'm not buying this, Gina, okay? But neither were you, so I guess that's the point.
I have to say, that's definitely a phrase she's said before. So she's like, you know, I mean, my friends are absolutely a bunch of clowns, so I figure total freak show. By the way, I have to give a shout out to Gina for picking up the slack of Meredith, Lisa, and Mary. Thank you so much for having drag makeup on this episode because that was really appreciated.
She's just doing challenges from other shows. So Tamara is like, so do you need any help? Do you need any help today? Do you need any help with anything? And she goes, could you fix Heather Dubrow? That could be helpful. Heather did nothing to you, okay? She did as much to you as you do for this show. Nothing. Clear her.
So now we go to Heather's rental, and the prop dogs, as in they're brought in for these random scenes where suddenly the Dubrows have dogs that they never acknowledge any other time of the season.
Oh, no,
the dogs
I feel like they're taken out of a freezer or something and just turned on.
They're abducted from Nobu staff. They're like, excuse me, I gave you soup bowls, so I would like your dogs now. Thank you. So they come up, they're jumping on Terry, and Heather's like, hi, hello, 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 Terry, over here. Fireside cast member over here. Hi. And so Terry's trying to be cool. He's like, hey, Alfredo, so how's this new kitchen working out? Is it working out for you, personal chef Alfredo? And the guy's like, well, first of all, my name's Nicholas. Second of all, yeah, so far so good. It's enormous. So yeah, I can cook in it. Thank you.
He's like, wow, can't wait to steam a salmon in here. It's going to be great. Glad I got all this room for you guys. And Heather's like, oh, thank goodness. Josh and Heather Altman found us a rental. We took a 6-month lease because it's the middle of the school year and Terry has a practice here. So we're basically stuck in the OC.
Yeah. It's sort of like Arrakis. Once you're there, you can't get out of it. Sorry, Dune reference. So
Terry is just like staring at her. This is the part in the episode where he has to talk to Heather, and he just looks so miserable. He looks watery-eyed and bored already. And she's like, Terry, we have been so busy lately. We have moved. We went to a hotel. I got dog-fucked for 5 days in Mexico. And then we see multiple screens of everybody just trying to comfort Heather over and over again. And while all the screens are floating up on our screen, the center one becomes her dog fucking a little stuffed dog.
Yeah, it's like, and it's A, I really appreciated that touch. B, you really do see how much they came for Heather. I mean, they're able to fill up the entire screen with so many different instances of people coming down on her, and it goes on for a while. And you're like, she did get dog fucked in Mexico.
Let's see. So she's like, you know what? Terry's like, I can't believe Gina would believe that you would call her a loser. Does she not remember the time you walked through New York City with her and pretended to eat a slice of pizza? I mean, how much realer do you get than that? Am I right? And she's like, you know what? I don't even say the word loser. That's not my vocabulary. And I certainly wouldn't say it about them. I would call them punitives.
And if I do say the word loser, it's strictly reserved for servants. So, and then she's like, yeah, I definitely wasn't talking about them. So then
the problem here, of course, is that she's already admitted that she called Noella and Jen a loser. So yeah, you can strike that from, it's not part of my vocabulary.
Also, yeah, like this is not going to be a strong argument to say I don't use the word loser, because loser, people say that a lot, so to act like you've never said it is bad. Like, it'd be one thing if it was like, you know, like certain vulgarities, you
it's
know,
like the but C like word loser, or something.
Yeah, you know, but like loser, you're not gonna do well with that. So,
well, I mean, Gina's especially like, this cast, because literally everybody's been calling them losers for years. I mean, yeah, just look up any comment thread from the past 3 years at least.
So Gina's like, Tamara doesn't lie. She just saves information and then she reveals it at the least opportune moment against you. I'm like, well, that's great. I love that in a friend. Glad you're taking her side.
Yeah. So Heather's like, well, I certainly wasn't talking about Gina or Emily. I mean, it's punching down economically. You know what I mean? I mean, those guys who say, we'll work for beer. Okay, like, what am I going to punch them out the window? No, I mean, I just throw them a beer. That's what you do. Are they losers? Yes. Would I say that? No. Okay, I have rules.
Everyone's scared of Tamara. Gina and Emily told me when I first met them, you know, after they figured out that you have to go through 3 gates and that the second gate was not actually a house. It was actually, there were still several gates. Once they finally got here, they told me that everyone was so mean to them and no one would talk to them. And Vicky even agreed. And we see a flashback of Vicky being like, yeah, I didn't talk to them for 4 months. Because Gina's like, you didn't talk to me for 4 months. It's like, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I can't fake it. I'm not going to talk to you.
She's like, you're gross. And he goes, wait a minute. So you're saying that the alpha girls like them, so now they've dumped you? Yeah, but that's also how she got them, by being the alpha girl and having them be afraid of her, you know? So that's
how you win them, that's how you lose them. But it's so true. Like, Gina and Emily are the freshmen. Tamara, Vicky and Shannon are the cool senior girls, and Heather's in drama club. And like, for a moment, Heather in drama club got to be the queen bee, but now she's back to being in drama club. And this is the natural pecking order. The show is living out the high school hierarchy at the moment.
Yeah, well, it did when they became her friend, too, because remember, they dumped on Shannon to come to Heather because they thought Heather had more power than Shannon.
Right. You know,
just followers. Fucking followers. So Terry says that, and then Heather's like, right, they've chosen the power over the money, idiots. And she's wearing this, you know, I'm on Heather's side for this one. It's very rare for me, but I do remember that she's Heather. You know, she's sitting there in this like big Pashmina-sized collar with LVs all over it. You know, like, yeah. I'm surrounded by more LVs than they'll ever see in their life.
Wasn't there a movie about this? And she's, ha, Heather's, ha, 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 ha. So then we go back to Emily. She's like, I like Heather a lot, which, by the way, is a lie. She keeps on saying, Emily, you do not like Heather. Stop lying to yourself and stop lying to us. So she goes, I think that she can be like very kind and generous and care about other people. But there's another side of her that I'm seeing. And, you know, I'm sure that Heather called me a loser. It wasn't Tamara. Tamara admits to what she says and she apologizes for it. I'm like, but also Tamara hears things wrong. And then, like, distorts them and then and blows them up. And, like, I believe that Heather called Noella a loser. And I believe Tamara heard that. And I believe Tamara misinterpreted it just the way that Emily misinterpreted Heather saying that Tamara was talking shit about her, saying, you know, Emily heard it as it was Shannon. I think Tamara hears the weird things the wrong way, too. And now it's turned into a whole big thing. And no one, these two idiots, are not thinking to themselves that maybe they should, in the words of Tamara, consider the sauce. Consider the sauce.
Bitch.
I have to say, I'm surprised that you even believe that much of Tamara. Like, I feel like you're even giving Tamara
I'm saying I'm giving her the best benefit of the doubt in this situation.
Because in this episode, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Tamara was the one who said it the whole time. I don't even think anybody even heard Heather call anybody losers. Like, it seems obvious that Tamara went on her show, said that they were losers, and then once it was on her show, freaked out and was like, guess what? Heather said that you guys were losers.
Although at the end of the episode, well, we'll get to that. At the end of the episode, I thought there was a small twist that they revealed to us. A very small twist, but I still think that.
Well, I love a twist.
Did you notice that?
No.
Did you notice that when they replayed the podcast?
No, but don't tell me. Don't tell me until the end. I want to know the end.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, listeners, you need to know that Wondery's shocking true crime podcast Over My Dead Body is back for a fourth season, Gone Hunting. This newest season covers the story of Mike Williams. It was Mike's sixth wedding anniversary when he set off on a hunting trip into the gator-infested swamps of North Florida. He figured he'd be back in time to take his wife Denise out to celebrate, but he never came back. Friends and loved ones feared he met his fate through bad luck and a group of hungry alligators, leaving his young family behind. Except that's not what happened at all. And after 17 years, a kidnapping, and the uncovering of a secret love triangle, the truth would finally be revealed. Enjoy Over My Dead Body, Gone Hunting on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Over My Dead Body early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at Wondery.com/plus. I want you to picture Steve Jobs tinkering with a computer in his garage. Walt Disney drawing cartoons for his high school newspaper. Every big moment starts with a big dream, but what happens when that dream turns out to be an even bigger failure? Each week on Wondery's new podcast, The Big Flop, host Misha Brown is joined by different comedians to chronicle some of the biggest failures and blunders in pop culture history. Each episode will have you thinking, why in the world did this get made? From box office flops like Cats the Movie to Action Park, New Jersey's infamous theme park that had countless injuries, many lawsuits, and rides so wild it became known as Class Action Park. Or Quibi, that short-form video platform with an even shorter lifespan. It's a story of a spectacular failure with lots of surprises along the way. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at Wondery.com/plus.
Okay, so Emily is like, yeah, I mean, I guess she called me a loser, and I'm sure it was Heather and not Tamara, because Tamara admits what she says. She's so honest. Tamara, you know, Tamara Barney Judge, the arbiter of truth. So then we see a reunion clip of Andy being like, Tamara called you Shrek in front of Gina, Emily. What do you think about that? And Tamara's like, you know what? I apologize for anything I ever did to you. You know what? You need a blanket for your face. So, here's a blanket. It's called a blanket apology badge. Put it on your face. It's my opinion, Shrek badge.
Like, that is not even a real apology.
Okay? No.
Anything.
But it was a convenient one. Like, she's back on the show, so of course she's going to apologize to you because she has to claw her way back into the circle. No. Also, it does make me reflect on the fact that Emily has had a rough history of being compared to children's characters.
Like, oh, God, this season with Snuffleupagus, huh? She really can't win.
She really can't win.
Can I get a Snow White thrown in here or something?
Can I get a little Sleeping Beauty? Okay.
Come on now, people. Let's give her a leg up here. So Emily's like, she's like, I think Heather would rather shovel shit than look in my eyes and apologize for anything. Like, you guys just have decided that you don't like Heather, and you are just gonna just nail her to the cross. That's
Heather
why,
because
Heather has apologized.
Apology. Yeah,
but
Heather
she doesn't
does
owe you
owe
one
you
for something
apology.
She didn't do.
So, and that's me saying that. That's crazy. So I don't even know who I am right now. So Shannon's like,
you know, well, at the restaurant, I repeatedly said to her over and over, I'm going to do it with my hands so you understand what I'm talking about. The purpose of saying something in New York, you know, listen, we need to have a long conversation with Heather about that. And now I don't know what's going to happen with Heather, but would I like for once for her to accept responsibility for something?
Yep. But like Shannon's saying, I repeatedly asked her, what was the purpose of you saying something that I said something horrible in New York to Emily? I'm like, but didn't you were there that it came out that she didn't say that she said it was that Tamara was talking shit. Like, I don't understand the logic that's going on with this cast.
They've all decided that that's it. That's the end. They're all coming for Heather, and that's it. There's no talking them out of it, even when they're proved wrong. I mean, how many times has Shannon had the conversation where Heather's like, Shannon, you've literally talked to everybody here about your relationship with John. No one has said anything but that it's a shit show, because you said it's a shit show. Like, what more do you want from me? She's like, well, I cannot believe she won't even admit to talking about my relationship. Like, oh my God, Shannon.
Yeah. So Jen's like, I just feel like Heather has an image, and there's like so much she's protecting and upholding all the time. And Tamara says, well, let's just say I was being malicious. And let's just theoretically imagine a world where I was being malicious and mean. I know it's difficult, but here we go. Imagine it. And say, imagine I'm saying all these things about you guys in New York. Why wouldn't she sit down with me and say, you know what? You were saying some mean things, and I would have been like, oh my God, I'm so mortified. This is the other thing that they're doing. Once they are confronted with logic of like, Heather didn't say that, then they pivot to, well, if Heather didn't say that, why didn't she warn us that Tamara said it? It's like the most like she literally can't win.
And it's so funny because Tamara tells this to Gina, and Gina's like, yeah, that's true. And I was like, oh my God, now this is what Gina's gonna run with. She's such a fucking robot.
wait, just to clarify, Tamara's point is, if I was being malicious and terrible, well, why didn't you tell me I was being malicious and terrible?
Yeah, so I could have apologized.
She literally just said that.
So then Tamara tells us,
you know, the fact that Heather turned this all around on me, you want to destroy people, but you're not destroying me, bitch.
How is she trying to destroy you? She's defending herself against what you have been saying. Oh my gosh.
She actually, you're right. She literally is just trying to fend off all the mosquitoes.
God. So, by the way, saying these people are losers is not that big of a deal. And I don't even think it's a big deal that Tamara did it. When she's like, oh, I'm leaving. I don't want to hang out with these losers.
No.
Like, who cares?
I don't think so. I agree. Gina's like, you know what? I was like, enough. Because, you know, I've got parties coming up. So I texted her. And then it cuts to Heather saying, oh, this is interesting. Gina texted me. I didn't know that her Metro PCS still had any minutes left for this month. That's very interesting that she did that.
And Terry's like, did she just do it right now? She's like, no, it's taken about 20 minutes here to hop on over from her Cricket But I got it now. So, well, listen, it says, so, hey, things in Mexico did not end the we I had hoped. Why is it typed like that? I think she's typing this phonetically.
Why is she using her dialect?
She's using her terrible faked dialect to type this.
She says, I hope I would like to sit down with the letter U, don't understand that, and talk about what happened. So please let me know a time that would work for you. So then Heather says that she really values her friendship with Gina and Emily, which, by the way, I don't believe whatsoever.
No, of course not.
She doesn't.
No.
And she's like, you know, the fact that Gina would believe that believe Tamara is so horrible. And if she can't see where I'm coming from, then this beautiful friendship of a very wealthy person to a very poor person, it turns out that's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm. So then Gina's like, you know what? I'm not going to be disrespected. This is my integrity. This is not your integrity. Oh my God. How is this your integrity? I've been a good friend to her. You didn't call her back between seasons at all or text her. So stop faking. You're just sitting around waiting for another like fake leather salmon jacket. And mm-hmm. I've been a good friend to her. And if she can't take responsibility and apologize for the nothing she said, then there's going to be no moving forward with me.
So now we have a very random scene. It's like this is the tying up Tamara's like quasi storyline, which is that she hasn't really had a storyline all season. At first it was like my mom moved in with her boyfriend and they met at Costco and now he skateboards. But now she's going up, Tamara and Eddie go up to Los Angeles for a photo shoot at Amare magazine. And she's like, George is the founder of Amare magazine. And then we see this guy, George, on the cover of his own magazine. I'm like, the only person who can do it is Oprah. And honestly, I don't even think Oprah should be doing it. I still think it's crazy that Oprah only puts herself on the cover of her own magazine. I think that's certifiably bonkers, but it's also why I love Oprah.
Yeah. So this guy is a total cheeseball. And we see a clip of him calling her, FaceTiming her. And, you know, of course, he's doing it where he's looking down with his sunglasses on so we can see his giant pano roof or whatever. And he's like, you want to come be on the cover of my magazine, bitch? And she's like, yeah, I want to come be on the cover of the magazine, bitch. She's like, yeah, I'll go to the magazine, bitch. She's like, yeah, bitch. So she tells us her monologue.
And then I started a company called Vina because there's like arteries that push blood to your heart. And he almost had a heart attack that time. So we've almost grown this business to a multi-million-dollar business. And I never thought I would see that because I remember when my dad had a repair shop and I wanted my face replaced with a working buffalo one day. And I've done it. Toot, toot.
Toot, toot. Then they show a photo of her dad, like Tamara in the 80s, looking exactly how you expect Tamara in the 80s to look,
which is
not that far from Tamara in today's. And she's watching her dad blow out candles on a cake. And the cake has, the design of the cake is sort of as like a lady's, like a bodice or something like, you know, and then boobs. Boobs are sticking out, three-dimensional above the cake. And this literally makes so much sense. But even the best part about that is that this cake is next to this big old crock pot that just sort of has like brown stuff coming out the sides. And then there's like wood paneling and like there's like weird reds. I was like, this is exactly how I pictured Tamara's childhood.
Oh my God, I did not notice the booby cake. That is hysterical.
It was, of course,
a booby cake.
You know what? I don't want to chew my own horn, but tit-tit. Oh, yeah. I guess I should go tit-tit like smoking, right, guys? Because I smell weed. I smell weed. So, you know what? I was raised in Cuba when I was 18. So when I opened Cut Fitness, I really thought the money was going to just come in. But it didn't. Turns out people don't want to work in a gym when it's got a slanted floor. I just don't get it.
Turns out people don't like going to a gym that's in the middle of a corporate park. Bitch.
So I have all the women of the year for this cover gather. Tamara, by the way, for all the shit, for as evil as she is, God, she looks good. She looks so good. I was like, whatever you are doing, lady, keep on doing it. You're pure evil, but
eating
you
souls,
look amazing.
Eating innocent souls.
Your souls are working.
It's definitely working. That soul diet.
She looked amazing. Wow.
So this, first of all, I like that she, it was a bunch of women of the year. I mean, it's still cool, you know, but she's like, I'm woman of the year. And I was like, you're one of the women of the year. But you're a woman of the year.
Okay. You're a woman.
But also, George comes in, this cheeseball George, walks into the shoot, and he's wearing his sunglasses inside. He's like, all right, ladies, line up, bitches.
Oh, my God, I'm going to line up. That's George from the mayor. Oh, my God, bitch. I just got my first drip of sweat down my ass, bitch.
So she tells us that
in the next couple of years, we're going to sell Vina and we're going to move on to something else. And I get inspired by the weirdest things. With this lack of sex Eddie and I have had, I'm thinking next is going to be a sex toy, Mrs. Bitch.
Please. Please don't. Bravo, I beg of you. Please don't do this to us. We've gotten through Candy. We've gotten through Dr. Jackie. I can't do it with Tamara.
Please not Tamara. Tamara's gross enough without having sex toy parties. I don't need it either.
It's always the same scene. It's always the same faux titillation. I can't. Give me cryogenics or whatever. Please don't let me get
Vicky's opinion on dildos and vibrators, please.
I can't do it. Okay. So then we go to Jen's house, and Ryan comes over in yet another horrific shirt. It's like that kind of plaid kind of thing, but different sleeve. It's just awful. He's like, hey, dude. Hey, babe. Hey, what's going on? I'm cool Ryan, cool hot stepdad. And Jen's like, hey, take a look at my lasagna. It's actually not lasagna, it's just spaghetti with tomato sauce piled up together. Yeah, thank God Gina's on the show, because otherwise I'd really be the whipping boy on this one.
So they go upstairs to talk, and she's like, Ryan, I need to talk to you because we haven't really had time to talk about Mexico. I mean, it was just, you know, listen, who have you stuck your penis in, okay? Because that one time I had to call you from Mexico, my stomach was turning. It was turning, and I just need to know for a fact that there's nothing besides the other person that you cheated on me with. So is there? I feel like this is a conversation she's had a million times, and it's going to be a conversation she's had with a million more. This man is going to cheat on you forever. I'm sorry. I like you. I don't want this to happen. But literally everybody is telling you, Tamara's an asshole, but she's completely right about this. You should not be with this person, ma'am.
Well, I think she's just doing her due diligence and just making sure she has these conversations on camera, so that way she can say to her family and friends when this inevitably happens,
I mean, I asked him. I put my heart out there because she knows she doesn't care. Listen,
he's got a good body, and he's providing something for her right now that she wants and that she likes. And I kind of am like, Jen, honestly, just go for it. Who cares? You're going to get hurt. You know, you're going to get hurt. Accept it and have fun until you get hurt.
Just date.
You know?
Yeah, just date him. You know, don't think of it as like forever. Don't marry him, though. And also, he's got total liar face, by the way. He's sitting there. His eyes are wide open. He's like, he's like biting his lap, scratching his head.
Also, why are they having this conversation about, like, have you cheated? Have you slept with someone else? They're like sitting on like the open air landing of their staircase with all the children downstairs. I'm like, you guys want to go behind a closed door for this one?
Yeah. And so he's got liar wide eyes. And she's like, you know, I just feel like Tamara was sitting on information that I didn't know about. And I wasn't grateful for that, I have to say. And he's like, okay, listen, I slept with her one night. And that was a year and a half ago. And we weren't together. So listen, I'm doing what some guys do, okay? I had to get laid. I'm a dude. And I haven't spoken a word to her in a year. But I don't know why you keep talking about moving forward when you hit your wagon to Tamara. And Tamara keeps dragging you back, okay? Because we're forging this amazing path. Listen, I'm becoming a father to the kids. We're going to take the next step. We're going to get engaged. We're going to get married.
And then I'm going to cheat on you then.
Yeah.
I think, stop going in reverse with Tamara. Go forward with me. And then my car's going to break down, just so you know.
Well, the second somebody said, listen, I was just doing what some guys do. In other words, you were mad at me, so you put me on a break. So, of course, I'm a man. I had to go have sex with someone. It's like the second, what if she doesn't have sex with you for a month, Ryan, because you're fighting? Yeah. You know, he's going to immediately cheat and be like, I'm a guy, though. I mean, you know I'm a guy. I have needs. I have needs.
Yep. The whole thing. We see where this is going. And I just kind of feel like, just have a really good prenup. I'm at this point, like, either leave him or get a really good prenup and then just, like, have fun and then just, but be aware you'll probably get hurt.
And then, whatever. It's like milk. Are you going to get upset when it expires? It literally says it's going to expire. You know this guy's going to expire. So enjoy it until the expiration date.
Yeah. And then at some point, just stop putting it inside of you because you learned that it's bad for you. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I personally would say you should explore maybe non-dairy options in this case. But as long as you are going to have the milk, be aware there is an expiration date and then enjoy all your cereal until then.
So then we go to John and Shannon for date night, and it's super awkward. Shannon's like, well, I've still not unpacked my purse, and my glasses are broken. Whoa, whoa. My glasses fell. Hold on, let me put on my glasses again. Wait, hold on, let me try it again.
she's like juggling her forks. They are also at a restaurant that could not be more apt. They're at a place called Driftwood Kitchen. I was like, yep, Driftwood. If there's anything that is that represents this relationship, it's driftwood.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that we are as sturdy as a giant oak. We're just kind of like parts of the oak that fell into the water, and now we're drifting along until inevitably we go over the side of a waterfall.
Hoping that John eventually gets wood. So,
but we're so drifting John's, in the meantime.
John's like, I'm not really sure what I want.
On the menu?
In a relationship. I mean, yes. The menu.
Summer corn soup sounds good.
I'm not a corn person, and basically to me, you're corn.
What?
Nothing.
Oh.
Well, I think I want the yellowfin tuna tartare.
Pass on that one. Big pass. Pasadena. I'm going to get the burrata watermelon salad. Is that okay with you, John? Will you accept that? Is that corn also?
No, I will not eat that.
By the way, generally speaking, we don't recap the ordering part on Bravo shows, but with Shannon, ordering food does advance storyline quite a bit and express emotional states, so it's really
important. I have to say.
Yep, I'll have the completely non-fat, low-calorie option, the ball of cheese. Thank you.
Okay, great. He's like, yeah, my favorite thing on this menu is yellowfin tuna. Unfortunately, you're a hamburger.
What? Excuse me?
I don't like corn, and 3.5 years into this relationship, the fact that you have still not acknowledged that, I think, speaks to the divide between us.
Well, I didn't hear that. I'll get the burrata. Oh, well, it's so nice to be with someone who doesn't order me short rib with a sugar sauce, David.
So finally, not finally, but she starts telling him about her meeting with Heather, which was a day before at lunch. So Heather's like, Shannon, I do not call people losers. That is not in my vernacular, okay? Call people Alfredos. Then I throw $5 bills at their heads and then tell them, you're welcome. And I walk away.
Shannon, I treasure our relationship because you're one of the few people in this group that I can say the word vernacular to and you understand what it means. You should have seen Gina's head explode when I said it.
And then we start saying, ding, explanation one. And then Shannon's like,
well, why couldn't you just say, I'm saying goodbye to my home?
Ding, explanation two. Well, because I tell one person and then everyone says, why didn't you tell me about it? Ding, explanation three. Anything I was discussing about your relationship are things that everybody knew. And Shannon's just looking at her, like with her lips pursed and her eyes looking around the restaurant like,
It's like Gina and a home, not buying it anytime soon.
But it's funny because, yes, Heather is coming up with lots of explanations for things, but also she has to because so much bullshit has been launched at her. Like, she has to be like, no, that's wrong because of this. That's wrong because of this. But because she has to respond to each of these allegations, it then makes it sound like she's, just coming up with excuses, huh? Like, everything that she does, they have a mental workaround, which is fascinating because, like, this is so much of what we've been talking about over the past few years with, like, conspiracy theories and everything. And, like, we're seeing just a low-grade conspiracy theory with Heather Dubrow right here. So Shannon's like,
well, John, Heather says that she said, get this, she said in Montana, she said that, Shannon's not in at all. I found this out in Mexico. She says that I'm not invested in this relationship. Did you want that corn, by the way? Did you want that corn?
Wow. If you were invested in me, you would know exactly what I'd want to eat.
Huh. Oh.
And then she said, I don't see that as a negative. And I said, oh, well, I do. Do you, John? Do you, John? Do you think it's okay for people not to be invested in a relationship? Because I've been telling people for 3.5 years that, you know, we're going to figure it out. So whether we're going to spend the rest of our lives together or whether we're happy. Are we happy? Are we happy, John?
We're happy. We're happy.
You, when
you're invested with someone, you tell them that they're driving their little boat too fast. I believe I did that, so I'm pretty sure I'm very invested in you, John.
Waiter, can we please have an order, a full order of happiness? Oh, I'm sorry, never mind. This already been delivered. Am I right, John? Am I right?
Da 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 da. Oh, sorry, I was just singing the Shark Tank theme song because I'm invested in you. I am invested. I'm invested in John.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she eats a huge bite and she's like,
whoa, wow, John, you should try this completely non-fat cheese salad.
And he's like, no.
Come on, John, just one bite.
No.
Why, John?
I don't want you, Shannon.
Like, well, okay, well, I was stressed out in Mexico because that's when the kids' applications were due for early acceptance into college, and it's counting down, and I'm just telling you, John, I'm going to lose it when they go. I am telling you, John, I'm warning you. John?
I will literally drive into a house. I am that upset.
He's like, I really don't care. You talked about corn in front of me.
So she says, all my kids are going to be away next year, and I don't want to be living alone.
And so then we see her. She's FaceTiming Sophie. She's like,
hey, Sophie. So you suddenly are 21. Suddenly you have gone through 3 years of college over the course of one season, and you're coming back to Orange County, right? You're going to come back?
She's like, no, mother, I'm going to go to Dallas.
Yeah, she's like, hug a tree, idiot mom. You fucking liberal. Liberal idiot.
So I'm on keto now.
By the way, during this whole FaceTime, we see that Shannon is in a black and white checkered shirt sitting right in front of a black and white Mackenzie's checkered pumpkin and two black and white Mackenzie's Child salt and pepper shaker things.
So hopefully you'll respect me now that I'm dressed exactly like a Mackenzie's Child pumpkin. Okay. You always paid those pumpkins more attention than you paid me. So would you like your mommy now?
Mackenzie's Child is a liberal idiot. Fucking pumpkin.
Okay, Sophie. Listen, I actually was not going for Mackenzie Childs. I just wanted to go for Kyle Richards Foyer because I'm just so used to people walking all over me that I figured why not dress like it too?
So, John, we come back to the scene and John's like, no matter where the twins are, we can visit them. Wow, John, thanks. Makes me feel a lot better, okay? Your kids are grown up, don't need you anymore. Get over it, okay? That's my advice. Get over it and stop trying to force feed me burrata, okay? It's the weaker version of mozzarella. Actually, that was me coming into that one, sorry. Wow. I will stop projecting my own hatred of burrata cheese onto John.
Burrata, it's cold in here. There must be some Ronnie's in the atmosphere. Shannon, I think it's an exciting new time for us. Tight smile. And I'm just really looking forward to you and I spending time together and relaxing.
Can't wait till the cameras go down so I can dump you tomorrow. And Shannon's like,
well, we do have a history of bickering and I want to fix that. And if he doesn't want to, I'm going to say, you better fucking fix it with me right now, John. We're happy.
Well, we'll always get through the chaos and trials together. I love you. Yeah. You can do one take on that one. Okay. I love you. That's it.
Can I get a happy birthday dessert that says I'm leaving you? And have that delivered to her tomorrow, the second the cameras are gone. Okay. That would be great.
Hey, when you said you're going to, we'll get through the trials together, are you being literal about that? Because something happened the other week.
So then Tamara is at home and Shannon comes over. It's like another day. And Tamara's in her fake Versace, of course. Versace everywhere, which there's no one who's going to convince me that that's not fake. And I don't really even care, except that Tamara made her huge stink about how,
this is real McGlare. Batch. I'm wearing a Terry McGlare.
And
Jen is cheap and thick.
So Shannon comes over and she has the Dr. Moon colonic. Now, Listen, I know I don't know Shannon. We've only met Shannon one time. It's not like I know her. We're not friends or anything. Still, I would like to be consulted on stuff because I feel like we could have helped her with this name. The doctor, well, I don't even remember what it's called, but it's stupid.
Cytolonic,
why not the Cytolonic? That's so stupid. It's why bad. Wouldn't you call it
that's like the Basomatic.
Shannonima Bidor or the Shannonima Moon. You know what I mean? We could have helped.
I feel like don't call things something that sounds like a parody of a as seen on TV product. Like just it should be called something that sounds like speaks of ease and release and joy. Something like lilac. I don't know. Or like gentle falls or
gentle
just something.
Falls is good. I like that one.
I don't know, like or just like a made up word that just sounds nice, like what they do with most apps, and like bloopy or
yeah, because Cytolonic sounds like a karaoke for pooping. It's like poop to the bouncing ball. Okay, today we're gonna be doing it. We're gonna be pooping to a Stevie Nicks song. Okay, let's have your poop follow the little ball of the lyrics on the screen. So I don't want to sing along.
A Cytolonic.
No, Cytolonic. I don't
Cytolonic!
Like that.
Cytolonic. Ah, that's what it sounds like late at night.
So Tamara's like, what's the difference between a colonic and an enema? Because you could be an enema once, you know what? You know who's my enema? Heather DeBrow, what a mess, bitch! They're both less messy than you. That's the difference. Okay, there's no difference.
This town needs an enema.
So what is an enema? Like a little pill you shove up there, right? And then a colonic is a tube that you wash yourself out with water, I think.
An enema... The only times I've had to take an enema, I think, have been like before some sort of like surgery, or I forget what it was, but like it was a liquid. It's a liquid. Is it a colonic or a colonic? I think you put something in there and it sucks it out. But an enema actually is something you ingest, I believe, and it flushes it out.
Okay, so love talking about poop. I would just like to say thank you, Orange County. Hate talking about poop, and you've delivered a poop episode to us. And
nice,
they go way too far with this poop episode. I'm going to just go ahead and let you take over and scroll through most of my notes. Okay.
So Shannon says, we see a flashback of Shannon administering colonics a few years ago. And then Shannon said, Did I ever think I'd be dealing with people's shit?
No.
But I need to create unique products that aren't out there, you know? I mean, turns out that maybe cream cheese stuffed salmon was a bridge too far, but colonics that you sit on, that will be right in my sweet spot. So, you know, more products out there means that there's more money to pay for the kids' colleges. So congratulations, twins. You're going to Parsons because of poop. Poop. And that's what you deserve. That's what you deserve for abandoning your mother.
So then Jen is like, so basically Jen is going to be patient number one because Jen is all blocked up for whatever reason. And so then Jen comes over and Shannon's like,
so new girl, I have been seeing an acupuncturist named Dr. Moon, and he's developed something very scary that you're going to sit on over a toilet. Are you ready to do this? And she's like, what?
So, but then before they do that, then they start gossiping about Mexico. So, Ronnie, you're allowed to come back in.
You really are going to do this whole scene. You're a good friend.
Listen. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable on your own podcast, so I will fall on the colonic for you.
Tamara's like, I poop 7 times a day, bitch. And Jen's like, I knew Tamara's full of shit. Ding. Got it. Nailed it. So they start talking about the Mexico trip and how weird Heather got in the end, because I think Heather is just so over these people. And she quit. I mean, she went right. They don't even show this, but in the last episode, we saw Heather so over it that she was walking around telling the producers, I'm out. I quit. I'm done. I'm done with the show. This is bullshit. And Vicky crying and going, oh, my God, this is so toxic. I can't even take it. I would quit if I were you too, Heather. Yeah, immediately. You should quit. And so they don't even show that. But I think Heather's so over it. I have a feeling she popped a Xanny or something, because on the way back, she's like, you know what? Look at this. Look at Max. Max is in a Halloween costume. Look at her eyebrows. Look at them. Look. Oh, my God. Give me your feet. Oh, your feet are so little. What's your name again? Ben? Oh, gosh. Tiny little Ben feet. Love feet.
They're all weirded out. And then they're all talking about, like, does she have a foot fetish? She's like, I do not have a foot fetish. I am not
like that. And if you'd like to adjudicate this accusation, I am more than happy to go to a very punitive place with you.
So then we get back to Jen and she goes, guess what, guys? So we get back to the hotel and who do I get a call from? Heather. And I said, oh my God, Heather, hi, thank you. Thank you so much for calling me, Heather. Thank you for reaching out. Wow, Heather. And she said, we need to have a conversation. So she says, I'm going to go get my soup from my room. So Taylor and I are in my room and we're just sitting there. We're waiting for Heather to come back. And Tamara, can I tell you? She never showed up, Tamara. Never came back. Tamara, wow.
I was like, wow, this is a real hope floats moment, Jen.
Tamara's like, did she text you? She goes, that was so rude. I mean, like, but wherever I am on your ranking, I'm worth more than that. I'm worth more than being stood up for soup.
The fact that Heather just, like, they just sat there waiting for Heather and they just didn't do anything about it. They just were like, wow, she just disappeared.
Yeah.
Off to get soup and disappeared.
These ding-dongs. So now that's their hilarious. Big hatred. Now Taylor and Jen have something for the season finale that they can bitch about.
Meanwhile, what happened if like Heather had just like fainted and passed out or gotten like hurt and was like carted off to the hospital?
Exactly. What if she was kidnapped? Listen, yeah. What if she was beheaded? Okay. What if there are any Coraline fans there, you know, who were terrified that they were being chased by Coraline's mother? Yeah.
What if Terry Hatcher was there and wanted to and was mad, had a bone to pick?
So then we get to while we're all here, which is the Cytolonic. So Shannon puts this is like an attached to the toilet kind of thing. It's a little tube and it attaches like by a clamp to the toilet and then you reach behind you and shove it up your butt. And I mean, I have to say
are
you watching this with the door open? And Jen, have you not given enough to this show in your first season? Why are you putting yourself through this? This is terrible.
I have to say, I'm much more comfortable talking about poop than you are, but I have never pooped in front of my friends like that. Like, I've never pooped, door open, with friends there, let alone a camera person. So that's awkward. But basically, yeah, it's like there's like a garment bag that you have to like hold up on the door. I guess that has a supply of water and the water rushes in. Yeah, that whole act. And they show a close-up of like putting lube on this like very skinny thing. It does not look comfortable. I do not think this was a great promotional item. Especially there's something about like having to like aim your ass as it comes down, as opposed to like sticking something in with your hand. I feel like there's much more control, but actually having to like land the plane on it. I don't know, Shannon. I want to support your ventures, but this one was a little rough.
Yeah, it was gross. So,
but it worked. But it worked, by the way. It did work.
Yeah, look, there are Housewives products we've tried, and I have to say I'm not really going to trust a housewife up my butthole. Like, I'm just not going to. I'm not going to do that. So
I'll take it over the sex toy scene. I'll tell you that much, though. So just because it's new, it's different, you know. But why can't we get like some? Can like someone come up with a video game console? I really like that. Could like that just be like a Shannon box that just has games that Shannon would play. Like that would be something games.
Okay, so then it comes with a steering wheel.
Crazy Taxi. She reboots Crazy Taxi.
Yeah. So Gina is driving up in a terrible outfit. She's wearing one of those like see-through tops from the 90s, like see-through sleeves, you know, and then she's wearing really bad silver. I mean, just Gina. Bad silver shoes. So Heather comes in.
Gina was the one who actually thought Lisa Barlow looked great last week on Salt Lake City. Oh my God, what a stylish look for her.
And Heather comes in dressed, you know, to kill, basically. She's like, hi, I'm richer than you.
She looks really good.
Yeah, I look great. So she comes in and Gina's ordering and she's like, oh, I have a coffee and a glass of champs for my friends.
Yeah, and so Heather comes in and they both give a terse like, hi.
Hi. You look beautiful.
Thanks. You look poor.
Thanks.
So,
hi, like, I just want to say you are not Reba McEntire. Okay, I'll be sitting here waiting for you to say you're sorry. Say that whenever you feel like it.
So, if you would like to open up with a story about how a very famous and influential billionaire has funded your latest venture, please, you have the floor. No.
Okay, oh, well, that's too bad. Obviously, you're like my bill collectors. You're very unhappy with me, okay? And I'm upset too. And Heather goes, okay, so you called me here, so go ahead. What? Why are you upset?
Well, first of all, I really want to let you know I value your friendship.
This is like the buzzword of this episode. Yes.
I value your friendship, and I feel like I've always been there for you, especially in those times when I haven't texted you back, because at those times, I was thinking about you, and I feel like thinking is actually like being there more for you than actually communicating with you. So I've like been there for you.
Well, that's just very hard to believe at this point. The fact that Tamara could sit there and say all of these things, and you're so quick to believe Tamara. She's, I'm not quick to believe her. She's, yes, you are. Okay, and Santa Claus is real. Okay.
Oh, my God. I know.
Jesus Christ.
And she said, you know, she said I called you losers, which I did not call you losers. I called you pathetic. I called you sad. But I did not call you losers.
Yeah, but you can still understand how if I thought that you called me a loser, that that could hurt my feelings, right?
What kind of argument is that? You're accusing her of doing something she didn't do, but your feelings are still hurt. So she still owes you an apology for not doing anything to hurt your feelings, but your feelings are hurt. What the fuck are you talking about?
And I love how in the middle of this, that champagne arrives for Heather, but Heather didn't, since Heather didn't order it, she's just sort of like surprised. She goes, oh, God, I really am powerful. They just know to serve me champagne.
And then she refuses to drink it, by the way. She never touches it because she's like, I will not take your peach champagne, stupid. This is probably well. So Heather's like, so, okay, well, I wanted to explain to you now. Okay, are you ready for this? And then she whips out her phone like she's got the biggest piece of evidence. And she plays a clip from Hi, I'm Teddy. Hi, it's Two Teddies in a Pod. That's my opinion, bitch. Their podcast, Two Teddies in a Pod. And we hear the clip. And Tamara's like, can we not talk about this? If we could not talk about this, Teddy. And Teddy's like, hi, I'm Teddy. I want to talk about what Tamara did last night because it is hot. Oh, my God.
What did I do? What did I do? What did I do, Teddy? What did I do?
And then Shannon's on the episode too. She's like, oh my God, what did she do? What did she do? What did she do? She's, and Tamara's like, what?
Who? What did I do? Who did I do anything to? Who did I do anything to?
Your entire cast? Okay, so she goes to me, like really loudly. She goes to me. She goes, hey, we gotta go because I don't want to hang out with these losers. And then Tamara's like, she starts doing that Tamara cackle, which I don't think we've heard this season. Mm. Wow. It really pierced me. It pierced me.
So Heather's like, that's us. She's the one that said it.
What do you mean that's us? We weren't on that podcast.
No, she's talking about us.
What? No, Teddy's talking about Tamara.
No, Tamara's talking about us.
I don't understand. Why would your phone talk about us?
Oh my God, you really will not believe anything.
Wait a minute. Wait, so Tamara was the one who called me a loser? Well, if you're my friend, then you should be telling me these things. Oh, my God.
She said it to Teddy. Oh, my God, you moron. Also, Heather did tell you and Emily, and you pretended that you didn't hear her so you could keep Heather in trouble with Emily. Are we forgetting that? Emily did say Tamara was talking shit about you. Then Emily got it wrong and started accusing Heather of things. And you knew that Emily was wrong, but you wanted to keep Heather in trouble, so you didn't correct anybody. You suck. You suck. But you are getting me to stand up for Heather Dubrow, who is the biggest asshole, by the way. She posted this video that somebody sent us. Thank you, listener. And it's Heather in a freight elevator. She goes, look at us, just like normal people in a freight elevator. Stars, they're just like us. I mean, Heather is so gross and into herself, and her head is so inflated because of her husband's money. Like, I can't with this lady. And you're still making me stand up for this person.
There you go. To be fair, I thought it was called an Alfredo elevator, not a freight elevator, but that's a whole other matter.
Yeah, I mean, because Gina is holding Heather, like, she immediately pivots. Once she's confronted with facts, she immediately pivots to in order to keep her narrative the same. She can't deal with changing her narrative, the fact that she might be wrong. So she pivots to, like, oh, well, Heather's wrong for not telling me. But how about all the times that Tamara, anyone, literally this entire cast has talked so much shit about Heather, and you didn't go to Heather to say what they were saying? So it's just like, it's total bullshit either way. Just wants to be mad at Heather, and she wants to my theory is still the same. Heather called her out earlier in the season, and Gina has not been able to reconcile the idea that she might be a bad friend. So she has slowly turned it away the other way around, so that way she can say that she's been a good friend and Heather's been a bad friend, because she can't deal with her own shortcomings.
Well, to make it even worse, she's like, Tamara probably said it, you know, but if she did, it wasn't said with malicious intent. It's like, wow.
What?
So you won't give Heather that, but you'll get Heather, who's like the only person on this show, literally, who's, except Emily, who's been consistently kind to you. I mean,
for ulterior motives, but still, you know, kindness is kindness. You did get a free, you know, like, jean jacket out of it or something.
Hey, everybody, you've reached the end of part one of the Real Housewives of Orange County recap. Part two will be out in just a little bit. Love you guys. Oh, P.S. There's no video for this. Sorry.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie,
she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.